Oh, yeah. You know how I open it up. I bring it back. There we go. You know the song. Welcome to another episode of American Riddle. This is your boy, Malcolm Riddle. Yeah, we're starting. That's how we do it. You ever seen the movie Trading Places?
Long time ago.
Really?
Long time ago. I don't remember.
So you one of them brothers, one of them new jacks. Huh? You don't know your history. Don't treat me like that. So welcome to another episode of American Riddle. I said that once, I say it again, and that's just how I roll, people. Sometimes I gotta remind you of where you're at. That's right. And we're bringing it in funky. You know the part when Eddie Murphy got rich and they were dancing and the girl took her top off and then the brother with the cowboy hat, big muscular dude, he was dancing like this. You don't remember that part?
No, hell no.
How can you not remember that part?
Long time since I've seen that movie.
People, you guys are hearing this and you are missing a voice. Mariam Tazi, she's got a day off. Sometimes I got to give her a day off. She can't be on every show. You know what I mean? I can't give her too much rope. Is that the saying? You know what I mean? You let her run wild. You let these women run wild. They be running the show. Next thing, it'll be called the Mariam Tazi Show. But she's off today. I got my homie. You know what I mean? I've known him for about a year. You know what I mean? He's from South Kakalaki.
Chucktown.
What's it called?
Chucktown's Finest.
Chucktown's Finest.
Yeah, you got to get that shit right when you get down there.
Wait a minute. Well, why is it called Chucktown?
Because we Geechee down there.
Really?
We hood. We make names up for everything.
Everything.
So we call it Chucktown. We don't call it Charleston.
Well, just South Carolina.
We'll say South Carolina for the listeners can understand.
Okay, but is it South Kakalaki or South Kakalak? Or is that North Kakalaki?
It's South Kakalaki, however you want to say it.
As long as you say it.
As long as you say something.
And then you got to bring it.
Amen. There's not a lot of people out of Charleston, and there's not a lot of people out of South Carolina, so that's why you don't hear a lot about us.
That's what's up.
All right.
And that's my boy, Mark Anthony, a.k.a. Red. That's what we're going by. Red. All you guys got to know, his name is Red. You know what I mean? And he's here. You know what I mean? He's bringing it, right? Red?
Yeah, man. I'm glad to be here. Happy to do this.
Yeah. Look at you.
Red. I'm cheesing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cheesing like a motherfucker. It's okay though.
It's good, right?
Yeah, y'all call me Red Mark Anthony, but I'm not that Spanish dude.
No.
Nah.
Well, Mark Anthony also was Cleopatra's significant other, like her boyfriend or something. Well, they had like, I'm no historian, as you guys can tell, but I know they were of some relation that led to some downfall someplace, somewhere else. Maybe Egypt. You ever hear Mark Anthony? No?
Yeah. So with that being said,
Mark Anthony was also on the cartoons. Remember Mark Anthony the dog where he ate too much gravy? He wanted gravy on everything?
What?
It was like a...
Why are you painting a picture of a gravy-eating dog?
I mean, none of that. Somebody, an adulterer, and then a dog on top of that. So two different portraits of Mark Anthony, cool. None of which are you, right?
I mean...
Fornication?
I like Egyptian bitches. I mean...
And you like to fornicate?
I ain't no dog.
You like gravy, though.
I do.
See? So it fits. Yeah, there was a cartoon where I don't know. I remember. It was I don't know what it was. It was some car. I know some of you guys out there remember those old Bugs Bunny cartoons. And the dog's name was Mark Anthony. And, he just kept eating. But he wanted, specifically, he wanted gravy on everything. Which I can't fight that feeling.
No.
I want gravy on everything, too.
I appreciate you butchering my name.
It's all right. What are we going to call you? Red. Now, Red is a unique name. Let me pot this down a little bit. Bam. Sorry, we got to turn that down because we don't have the rights, but we do on this show. So that's how it's going down. You got nicknames that are prominent and dominant in the hood. You know what I mean? Just roll with it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right? I got my nickname Red from my boys back in the day.
Yeah, why?
Because they said I looked like Redman, the rapper.
Yeah. No, you don't look...
Only reason why, I went to a white school.
Yeah. Oh,
I went to a white school.
So, who's they said then?
Am I allowed to say the whites?
Yeah. Yeah, the whites. It's okay. I don't think that's good.
That's good. All right. I don't want to offend.
No, you won't.
You know, but the whites say I look like... They said I had looked like Redman. Back in the day, there used to be this group called the Death Squad.
Yeah.
It was Keith Murray, Eric Sermon, and Redman.
Keith Murray, the holder of a boulder, money folder.
Right there.
You know what I mean? I didn't know you knew anything about Keith Murray.
So I used to hang with this dude, and his nickname was Pumpkin. I never called him Pumpkin.
Yeah, you can't.
No, you can't call another dude pumpkin.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I take that back, because in D.C., when I grew up, when I was growing up, and I would spend summers in from Michigan in the Washington, D.C. area, northeast D.C. in the hood, we had a dude, his name was Pumpkin, and we called him Pumpkin. I mean, it wasn't weird then, you know what I mean? I mean, now you fast forward to 2015, it might be weird, but I think that's just in your psyche. I think we can call someone Pumpkin. Yeah. Sorry, these days and age, you know what I mean?
I don't even call my girl Pumpkin.
Why would you?
Why would I call another dude Pumpkin?
What would you call your girl?
By whatever her name is, wherever she is. But anyway, we used to call this dude Pumpkin. He looked like Keith Murray, because he was a little short,
yeah,
wild, little low haircut, and I had this little fat dude that we hung with, and he looked like Eric Summon. So they said we looked like the Death Squad. Now, how do white folks know who the Death Squad was? You know, I give them credit for that. So they used to call me Red Boy, and they used to call other dude Keith, and he's called the other dude Eric. So
that's what's up. No, that's big ups to them, because it was Death Squad, not Death.
Death. D-E-F.
That's right. Death Squad was running things for a minute.
It was.
And as you guys know, you know, on this podcast, I talk a lot about hip hop, especially hip hop's golden era. You know what I mean? The late 80s, early 90s. That's when I haven't really got into, was talking about Redman, Keith Murray, EPMD.
Yeah.
I mean, good
Redman, hands down, one of the most underrated rappers.
Woo. He could drop something right now today. You know what I mean? So that's where you got it. They said you look like Redman, which, by the way, you look nothing like Redman.
Thank you.
Not even close.
You know, it's stuck. It stuck with me. Redman, Red Boy. That's what they used to call me. So
Red Boy.
Red Boy.
Now, where does Red Boy come from? Who called you that?
Red Boy came from the fact that I wasn't a man yet, because I was in school.
Yeah.
So they was like, instead of Redman, Red Boy, and it just stuck with me.
Who called you Red Boy?
Family members, friends, people from the hood? Everybody around there, they know me by that now, but
they used to call me Yella.
I can see why.
Because, I mean, you know, and it's funny, because like a lot of people don't know. A lot of people outside of, you know, certain neighborhoods don't know that there are different levels of being black. Not saying there's more powerful levels or anything like that, but just there's, I don't even know how to even articulate it. But it's if you're from a certain shade, you were called yella, whatever. Yeah. I mean, so red bone.
You have the hue. It's like a hue list. Right?
A hue list.
At the top, you have black.
But this is from the beginning.
From the beginning.
This wasn't even a hood. When they were brought off the ships and settled into slavery, they didn't really settle into it, but they had no choice. Into slavery, it's like the brothers settled. Oh, okay. No, it was when you and your complexion, of course, played a big part on where you were on the food chain.
Excuse
the pun.
We would have been in the house.
Yeah.
They would have gave us a broom.
Well, I got soft-ass feet, so it would have been tough for me to survive out in the field. I mean, straight up. I don't like, you know, I don't even take my shoes off to go to the beach. Straight up. You know what I mean? So could you imagine me being a slave?
Hell no.
I wouldn't have made it.
I wouldn't have made it.
And then
either.
I would have gotten mouthy with someone. It would have been done. Strung up.
I wouldn't even made it in the house.
No.
I would have got shot the first day. I'm being real.
You'd have been done?
First time they hand me that broom, I look at them like, what am I going to do this?
So tell me about these hues.
Well, the hues. So you have like the dark skin.
Yeah.
Like the really, really dark skin. Right? The Wesley Snipes type brothers, right?
Yeah.
And then you have like your medium, like the brown skin.
Yeah.
And then third on the list is me.
Yeah.
The reds.
Yeah, you're a little bit more red.
You're a
couple
red.
Shades darker than I am.
And then you have the yellow.
That's me.
Which is you.
Yeah.
And then at the bottom, you have those dudes that look right, but they're really black.
Yeah, you almost feel like something's off. You know what I mean? You like look at them and be like, hold on now.
Yeah.
It's like almost, but, and then.
Blue eyes with an S curl.
But if you look at some of his historical figures, like take Babe Ruth for a minute. He looked like he's black.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Have you ever looked at that dude?
Yeah.
Like straight up, and then you got who are like Lena Horne and people like that that were high yellow, as they call it, right?
Yeah, very, very yellow. And you know, you really like it, to me, when I think about that hue chart,
yeah,
in the way
hue
that
chart.
We kind of categorize ourselves by that chart,
yeah,
like I always felt comfortable because I was in the middle,
yeah.
Like, it was the dudes who was at the very, very top and at the very, very bottom.
I call hell.
I'm not even going to lie. Coming up, the Red Brothers,
yeah,
we was hating on the Yellow Brothers.
Yeah. You don't say. No, I caught it. I mean, there was a period where, and I've joked about this, and I'm, you know, this is a comedy podcast anyway. I've said that there was a period where the Lycan Brothers was dominating. I mean, when you had Prince, when you had Michael Jackson, when you had El DeBarge, you had all these guys in the 80s that were just dominating the playing field. Then all of a sudden, like you said, with the rise of Wesley Snipes, the game did change. You know what I mean? It changed. But no, I caught it. All jokes aside, I caught it. Man, I think I caught hell for the better part of my childhood into adulthood, even to this day, because some people might think that I'm not black enough, or certain people, you know, in that's outside of the African American culture might say, you know, that either too black or not black enough.
And it's weird though, because like where I came up, you know, I came up in a school where it was, you know, there was a lot of white folks there. Certain areas in the school, especially where it was darker people.
Yeah.
Or blacker people than me, like I was considered to be like in kind of like that white crowd, and then I would get picked on for being high yellow until one year there was this kid who came into the school who was like yellower than me, and then he started getting picked on. They left me alone, you know what I mean? So it's very weird how the lighter you get, the more hate you get.
It's weird. Yeah, it is weird that it's like that.
Unless you're white.
And then,
unless you're white.
Well, if you're white, I think you're – I don't think they have that within that culture. You know what I mean? I think it's more of a financial type deal. You know what I mean? Like what status you are, you know, classism. But racism – it's good that you brought that up. Racism within race – you know, it's something that exists. I know it exists in the Indian community as well, as far as the different shades. And there's no way to combat it. You know what I mean? I mean, I guess, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? It's something that I've dealt with. Like I said, I've dealt with for a long time. And, you know, now I just shrug it off. Like once you get to a certain age or a certain mindset and you – learn to laugh at yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you ain't going to jump at it if someone calls you yellow. You know what I mean? I don't, you know, I could care less.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's what do you call it? Like a term of endearment. But it's, you know, is it as serious as you think? I know with women, it gets a little touchy.
Yeah.
It does. It does get a little crazy sometimes, but I don't know. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah. I mean, hey, one of my favorite, I got another nickname that what? I didn't even mention.
What's that?
It's Tekkum.
What?
Tekkum, T-E-K-A-M.
What's that?
And it stands for the evil Kool-Aid man.
The evil Kool-Aid man.
The evil Kool-Aid man. So since I was red,
yeah,
everybody told me I looked like an evil Kool-Aid man, which I didn't know or think was racist until recently. When I sat down, I thought about that shit.
No, but, yeah, please elaborate on that.
Right. So I, you know me, I'm a jokey dude, right?
Yeah.
And I like to joke and have fun. So I used to laugh all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if you remember those old Kool-Aid commercials. Motherfucker jumped through the wall.
Lived on Kool-Aid.
And then bam, right? And he would be sitting there laughing with the kids. But one dude was like, man, you look like an evil Kool-Aid man. I'm going to start calling you the evil Kool-Aid man. And
that's horrible.
Yeah, it was horrible. It's terrible.
Yeah.
But, and this made it an acronym.
Yeah.
The evil Kool-Aid man. Tekkum. So people start calling me Tekkum.
And that stuck.
It stuck.
Red Tekkum.
Nah, just Tekkum.
But it could be Red Tekkum.
It could be.
Huh?
Red Boy Tekkum.
Yeah. Or just Red.
Or Red.
Kool-Aid is red.
Most of the Kool-Aid I drink.
I always liked grape, and I like to mix it. My grandmother would make Kool-Aid, and she would mix the punch, the red. Well, actually, red is different, because red could be cherry or fruit punch. But usually, she bought the fruit punch with the lemonade and would do the split. You know what I mean? And then she would slice up some lemons, gourmet shit.
That's what I mean? That's
gourmet,
a bit. That sounds good.
Gourmet hood shit.
I just never had the time for
straight
it.
Straight out of Flint, Michigan. we just dice it up. Yeah, nicknames. What'd you call it? What chart? What was the chart called again?
The Hue chart.
The Hue chart and nicknames. That's something that, you know, if you're living in the suburbs and you're just unaware, now you know, because it's a big thing. Lots of nicknames in the hood. I mean, you don't have to be from, what'd you call it? Chuck?
Chucktown. You get that right, man. I'm trying to put us on the map here. Chucktown.
Yeah, well, the American Rental Podcast might not be your form to get put on the map, but it's a good start. It's a good start. The say it again. Chucktown. I still don't understand where the Chuck.
Think about Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Charlie O. Chuck.
Got you. That's it.
Yeah. So that's another name, Charlie O. Charlie O. I don't know why it's called the Charlie O, but Charleston is called the Charlie O.
Country grammar.
Very country grammar. Straight Have you ever up. Heard Geechee?
Yeah.
Geechee type talk?
Yeah.
Speak Geechee down there.
I can't.
No, I said they speak
That's Geechee one thing down I used there. To get all the time, too. I speak too proper all the time. Like, growing up, this dude speaks proper. I mean, it didn't help that at the time when all the fellas was out playing stickball and tackle football on the streets, I was had my window open listening to country music, blasting Kenny Rogers. I didn't get any street cred that way. That didn't go over too well in the neighborhood.
Not in Michigan.
I didn't do that so much in Michigan. Usually, no. In Michigan, I was more hip-hop. But every now and again, I would put on anything. It'd be like vinyl. I'd put anything on. I'd have the windows open, just blasting music. Every now and again, I have some show tunes. Yeah. And some.
You know, hey.
You don't get any street cred that way.
No, I don't judge. I don't judge when it comes to music. I have a very, very big music library. Now, of course, coming up.
Library or library?
Library. Doesn't matter. Look, I talk Geechee, so sometimes a word slur.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So, but I respect all types of music because, you know, I'm a huge music buff, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I can get down with some show tunes and Kenny Rogers now. Back in the day, now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was in the streets. My friends, I couldn't roll up, you know, wearing a hat backwards and a bag of clothes and some Kenny Rogers, you know.
Man, I used to rock Kenny Rogers, man. I used to rock it. Yeah, it's funny you said brought music up because when we were setting up in studio, you were playing some Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
You've got some Jay-Z, a couple other things. I mean, it's some good stuff out there. What I find strange is, on that note of new artists that are out there, is I think you and I were talking about this the other day, is how many people don't know some of the artists of the past.
Yeah.
I think you and I were talking about Richard Pryor the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And
big Richard Pryor fan.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't know, like, I almost feel like I have to explain to some people, some of the listeners that may be listening to this, but if you don't know, if you haven't experienced Richard Pryor, I mean, A, don't tell me, because I'm going to look at you. I'm going to look at you weird. But B, you know, if you're open to exploring Richard Pryor, the comedy, the genius of Richard Pryor, you really need to do it. And if you're listening to this also, if you haven't watched or listened to Richard Pryor, revisit him. I mean, it's all on, iTunes. You can download it, any of his albums.
And I was making a point about that the other day. So I was talking to somebody about, you know, Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
And like, his greatness. And I proceeded, you know, I asked that person, well, who's your favorite? Who's your favorite comedian? And the answer was Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
And I told that person to go back and look at Kevin Hart's influences. And then go back and look at the influences of some of the other comedians out there today. And every single one of them mentioned Richard Pryor. Yeah. Every single one.
I mean, how can you not? Like, seriously, how can you not recognize his genius, the way he would tell a story and they would unfold into a joke? But even still, his whole life is just, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when you and I have a mutual friend, when you told me that she didn't know who, I won't say her name on the podcast, but said she didn't really know who he was. You know, I get that a lot when it comes to music. It could come to politicians or anything. It's just weird. I always just find it weird how this younger generation is focused on their moment.
Right.
Not so much the past and how the past connects to the present and how that will ultimately determine the future.
Right. And what I think that they're missing, excuse me, I think they're missing that element of what is out here now wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. You know, so we had another mutual friend.
Yeah.
And we got into a big argument about music, and you know what I mean? I'm a huge Jay-Z fan, huge Fabulous fan, like the New York hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
But this person was like the greatest rapper alive.
Oh, don't tell me.
Was Future.
Man.
I mean, his music's okay, but the greatest rapper alive, she put him over Eminem. Now, when I was talking to her about this, I tried to get a reason why, and she played a song, and I couldn't understand a word that he was saying on the song. He wasn't even talking about anything. I think he mentioned flipping a baby out of a car one time. I don't know. But for me to listen to that and have this argument with this person who's younger, and it's just ridiculous to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, to put someone, I know some of the listeners, I'm going to try to play a song so you can put this in context. To put someone over Eminem or someone that is that new to the game. And I don't discredit any new artist. I don't care if you're Kevin Hart. I don't care if you're, you know, rock band, country, even new filmmakers. But we're so quick, so fast to say everything is epic. So everything is the beginning and end of that particular craft.
Right.
Very fast to put those titles on people. And I don't think Future even comes close. You know what I mean? He's not better than Gigolo Tony. You know what I mean? It's like my point is with today's technology, you can craft some beautiful music and beats and samples and make it. And that's what pulls you in. But you can't understand. And I'll play. Let's see if I can pull it up. Let's see if this works.
It's just a real nigga shit. Your real nigga story.
This is Future.
Like a bunch of narcotics. Pull up in a new Ferrari. Living like John got it.
Chopping. You hear that?
Like yeah. What the fuck is this? I can make this shit. You know.
Oh.
Blowing money, stay clean. Michael Jackson, Billie Jean. Got a Panamera, Rana, young nigga hit.
Porsche.
Got a young bitch pulling up in a V. Smoke a lot of Kush and I have a lot of sick. Had to beat the grind or ran up my chick.
Bitch, nigga. Yeah, so that's what you got.
Yeah.
Your thoughts.
Yeah. I don't even know.
And you got into an argument.
I got into an argument over this. I don't even know if there was an actual complete sentence that was in there. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if I hand my son a mic.
Yeah.
My son's 9 years old.
Yeah.
You know what? If I would have handed my son a mic 4 years ago when my son was five, he could have put out something better than this. You know what I mean? You know, I don't discredit, you know, his future and what he does and any rapper and what they do. But, I mean, if you're going to come to an argument and you're going to put this guy over a Jay-Z or Eminem, you got to have some firepower.
Yeah.
You got to have more than
well,
this.
Well, I think even Future knows he's not better than, you know, Jay-Z or Eminem. I mean, it's...
But the thing with music is everybody gets so tapped into what the trend is now, and they'll put out any kind of shit, you know, any kind of shit that will sell now, but there's no real meaning or there's no real art behind it. That's why I like artists like J. Cole. Like, if I was to speak on the new school, if I was to speak on the new school, I like artists like Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, because they actually really, really, if you listen to their stuff, they have a lot of meaning behind their stuff. It's deep, right? It's not gibberish. Like, that sounds like gibberish, right? If you used to look up in the dictionary gibberish, right, it will say what Future says in his music.
Yeah.
There's another one out there named Young Thug. Oh, it's horrible. I was on line this morning, actually.
Yeah.
You know, and I do a lot of looking on these music sites.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of, you know, like just checking out music because, once again, I'm a big music fan.
Aim that mic up a little bit.
Oh, my bad.
There you go.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm a big music fan, and I was on this website earlier today, and the website, an article on the website was the 15 moments on this kid, Young Thug, on his new album where he says something you can't understand. That was an article. The article was about us not understanding what he's saying.
No, you need subtitles.
Yeah.
You need subtitles. I mean, even for us, being able to... know what's going on, you know, just knowing slang and be able to break down Ebonics and all that stuff. You still need, like, it took me a while to figure out the song we just played called Karate Chop. I couldn't understand it. But there was a time when, like, straight brothers from the hood, from the Bronx, South Bronx, you know what I mean? From the Queensbridge Projects, you know what I mean? These brothers were dropping rhymes and they were articulating. They were on point. You know what I mean? They were dropping science and it was connecting dots. And I'm not someone that's like want to stay in the past or anything like that. But at the same time, you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're just promoting ignorance,
right?
And then using that whole "I'm a reporter from the streets and reporting what's going on in my hood." You keep using that same old song because we heard that. We already right. been there.
Yeah, and to me, right now with music now, and like I said, no discredit to anybody that's out there making music. Do
no,
thing.
Because they did their thing. They laid it down. It's out there. It's on. You know, no different than this podcast. There's yeah, of course, there's better podcasts than this. But at the same time, you know what I mean. We're growing as you know, as artists of our in our own right. So I don't say that you know it doesn't. And I've said this more than once on a podcast. It may not be talking to me. It may talk to whomever you were talking to, having an argument with.
I mean,
with,
but or if my you son. Listen, he ain't talking to nobody. I'm not going to understand that.
I don't know, man, because some of these guys, man, they're you know, they're going platinum.
Yeah.
They're going, you know, they've got, and I don't even know if they're going platinum, but I think they're going, you know, they're doing like 9, 10, 15 million views on YouTube and turning that into currency.
But you know what? a lot of the music now, and one of the things that I look at, of why some of this music sells is, I mean, the production, I'm not going to lie. When you started that song, I bobbed my head. I mean, yeah. the production oh, yeah. is
That's
great.
That's what I said. The technology is,
yeah,
is
the production is
on top of his game.
It's great. But I never thought, you know, coming up, you know, listening to like Jay-Z, listening to like Nas and those guys coming up. I never thought I'll see a moment to where, you know, the music production, you know, overruled, you know, the lyrics, right? And nowadays, it's all about the production. It's all about the beat. It's all about the bass line. It's all about how it sounds.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people are putting a lot of effort or putting a lot of thought into those lyrics, right? And it's really a era for the subwoofers. You know what I mean? Era for those folks who got the subs in their car because it's just the beats that you listen to. You know, that's why I passionately say I like new guys like Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole because they talk. They talk about things that's going on. They can tell a story. The last big storyteller of my time was Biggie, right? And you would just get drawn in to what he says.
Yeah, between Big and Pac, that whole era in the early 90s to the mid 90s, right on their passing. I mean, that was it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sometimes I totally forget how great the music was of the 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at now, there's some good stuff out there, and there's some great artists out there, but you really have to dig.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You really have to dig. You got to go into YouTube. You got to find them. You got to, you know, headhunt. You got to find, you know, shows, local shows and stuff like that. And it's an effort. But if you just turn on the radio and listen to what's being played, yeah, you're getting some junk.
And back home in the Charlio, Chucktown.
Of course.
I used to dabble in music. Yeah. So my homeboy.
What'd you guys do?
Well, my homeboy was a rapper.
Yeah.
And we did shows locally. He only had like five tracks.
You had an MC name?
Who, him?
You.
Who, me? Nah.
You had some name. Red, nah. I guess, right?
Red Boy, Tekum.
Yeah.
Same ones we
just
discussed earlier.
Just the same, just,
yeah. Yeah. But I did a lot of research into music, and we had a lot of music conversations, and I was always thought like this, like how big, you know, some of these people want to be. Can I turn on a radio in the middle of Idaho, some random house in Idaho, and have my song or have his song or anybody's song play there and get the same respect as if it was, you know, in our hometown? I wanted him to think like that.
Yeah.
And like, I can't see that with a lot of the music that's out. You know, being from the South, right, when I have arguments up here where I'm at now about music, because I'm very big on Southern rap. You know, I'm a T.I. fan, Big Crit fan. If y'all know who they are, look them up, especially Big Crit. But I have those arguments here, and I get a lot of ridicule because it's not the same as what was here. It's a different type of music, right?
It's a different sound.
It's a different sound.
But you have a valid point there, too, okay? And Outkast is also... Outkast. So there was a period where all the different regions... When we were listening to Kendrick, right off the bat, there was a couple songs I wasn't familiar with, but I knew it was West Coast.
Right.
I could hear it. I could hear it in the breaks. I could hear it, you know, within the framing of the lyrics. I could just you can pull it. When you hear something from down south, a lot of times you can hear that southern style. You know what I mean? Okay. When you hear New York, that old New York, you know, that boom bat, that funky stuff. You know New York when you hear New York, right? Philly has a sound, but now, circa 2015, if you listen to, you know, a handful of some of the top artists that are on right now, Drake, Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can't even figure out who's who, because all of them, pretty much all the artists out there sound very similar. So when you bring up that point about people not understanding or being able to relate or even liking that Southern style and them panning you because you're bringing up, you know, these different artists. There was a time in 84, 85, 86, 87, all the way through the 80s where you had to be different.
Yeah.
There was no – you did not want to sound like someone else. Like it was law, like straight law. If you sounded like anyone else, you were pretty much accused of being a biter, and then there goes your cred, like straight up.
Yeah.
And radio stations didn't even play anyone that sounded. I mean, there was so many different things that sounded different. Even like take rock and roll groups. I mean, if you take any genre, each one has their own specific sound. So why is it? Why do you think now everything just sounds the same?
Money.
That's it.
It's got to be money. Like if that sound sells,
yeah,
then you're gonna repeat that sound. Have you ever? Like listen to some of these artists, like their catalog. Mm. So somebody like Rick Ross.
Yeah.
Right.
The Boss.
And I like Rick Ross.
Rick Rosé.
I like Rick Ross. Sometimes he'll surprise me. Some of his albums are the same, but some of his albums are like really good. But he has a lot of songs where he partners with one producer,
yeah,
and they all sound the same.
Yeah.
Like you would listen to a song like, I thought I just heard this. And then you go to the next song, it's like, I just heard this. Last track, it all sounds the same.
I've never listened to a full Rick Ross album before, just because the whole, you know, him stealing the identity of someone else and then using it for his own, which, you know, that's been going on in rap music since the beginning of time. But I guess through the infighting and me knowing the story of the real Rick Ross and his struggle with the U.S. government and his time he served in prison, and he's got a fascinating story. But I knew that the people controlling the strings, it was all about money. That name wasn't. And of course, Rick Ross has changed his name to Rick Rosé, and who knows what else he goes by.
But you got a point. It's a facade,
yeah,
right? And,
yeah,
and they're playing off of that facade. Rick Ross used to be a corrections officer.
Yeah.
Like he's screaming, fuck the police, and he used to be one. You know, like it's a facade. You build this character and you just play a role.
And a lot of them are, though. I mean, yeah, a lot of MCs out there are, and there are some that, you know, that aren't. Some, yeah, of them are the real deal. Not saying that you have to be a thug or a gangster or a pimp, but there are some MCs that are true MCs through in and throughout.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, if you look at you take someone like Jay-Z, who's got next to Cool J or someone. He has one of the longest, most successful careers, generational. I mean, and Jay-Z may be the top when it comes to being, pound for pound, one of the best that ever did it. If you look at his career in a whole, because he's made it to the White House.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He's made it to the – I mean, he represents hip-hop. everything he does, from, you know, being right next to the man that runs the country, leader of the free world, to owning chateaus. He just bought the new Champagne house.
Yep.
To owning didn't he own sports? Didn't he own?
Yeah, he was he has stake in the he had ownership in the Nets until he sold it, because he's now a sports agent.
Restaurateur, owns bars,
40-40 club,
gives to charities. Yeah. I mean, he's everywhere. You know what I mean? And he's been true to himself and his image the whole time.
That is correct. I mean, he came from the streets.
Hustler,
yeah. Came from the streets, started from the bottom.
Yep.
And that is his blueprint. And he raps about his blueprint. And the thing I like about him is he didn't backtrack, right? He didn't backtrack and talk about, well, you know, I started from the streets. And like, he started progressing, and now he's rapping about artwork and stuff that he owns.
Yeah.
Right? And then now everybody's looking at him like, you know, he's rapping about a Picasso. Because he owns a Picasso, right?
Yeah.
And if you know how expensive a Picasso painting is, shit, I'll rap about it too if I had one.
Yeah, he's a fascinating individual. Like, I've gotten in arguments with younger brothers about him when people would come to me, and from my generation, challenge my generation's number one god, hip hop rap god, which is Rakim Allah. I talk about him a lot in this pod. I'm sure a lot of my listeners are tired of me talking about Rakim, but Rakim is a quintessential MC. He is you, the way we talked about Richard Pryor earlier.
Yeah,
Jay-Z will credit Rakim. You know what I mean? Rakim. I've had brothers Paul, one of our friends, was. Did you know Paul?
Yeah.
Okay. Paul was came in, a guy we know. He was just denouncing Rakim. Didn't know nothing about him. I said, hold on, man. He's like, he's telling me you're trying to say this guy Rakim is better than Jay-Z. I was like, here's what you do. I'm not just saying it. I was like, go home this weekend, right? Download a couple songs. If you don't like him, I'll give you the money back, right? Whatever. Brother went home, came back, looked me in the eye, and said this: you were right. And then walked off. You can't challenge Rakim's skills as an MC.
No.
However, far as the total body and representation, not saying that Rakim doesn't represent all this good in hip hop, but just in fashion, in media, owning companies, being a president of Def Jam, at the White House, married to Beyonce, just that mogul status.
Well, that's the only thing you need on your resume if you fucking Beyonce.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I mean, it's as close to a black Frank Sinatra as you're gonna get.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And it's just a sorry. I was fumbling. Those are my pills, my pill box. I got to keep pills close, man. You know, I got all sorts of conditions. But yeah, he's a fascinating guy, and I'd love to see someone just do a documentary on him.
A real one. You know what I mean? Like, there's some out there, but
yeah, but those are like concert movies or something. Like, have you seen the Nas documentary?
No.
Oh.
No, I have not seen that one.
Yeah, you need to see that. What's that called? The Illmatic, is it? What's it called? I don't know. How fast is your device?
I'm trying to catch up on my documentaries and movie watching. So I'm a little bit back behind a lot of people.
Give me a quick second, people. Well, Nas's documentary, while this is loading, Nas's documentary goes into his birth, his childhood, his growing up in the Queensbridge projects, and it shows everything from A to Z. If you get a chance, watch that. It's actually on iTunes right now. I think it's on sale for like $7. It's called Time is Illmatic, and it chronicles his start. You know what I mean? The stuff his mom and his dad would give him. You know what I mean? His school was so bad, overridden with crime and thugs, and the teachers weren't teaching them. His dad told him to quit, drop out. They dropped out, him and his brother. They dropped out because it was hazardous to their health, you know what I mean, for them to stay there. So if you get a chance, you watch that, and you watch him and, you know, his you know, first opportunities within rap music and him growing, and then you know, loss of life. Like, I think his best friend got killed, and it just changed him. If you just watch this film, it's this powerful documentary. I mean, so much so you gotta buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worth it. That's what I would like to see one on Jay-Z. Yeah, I'm a big fan of documentaries as well. There's a lot of good ones, and it's changed. The whole filmmaking landscape has changed big time when it comes to documentaries. Because I know when I was a kid growing up, went a lot that I liked as far as in that style, because I found them to be boring. But now, again, with the aid of technology and visuals and effects and stuff like that. And it doesn't have to be, you know, laced with tons of effects to keep my attention. But, you know, the overall quality and the production level of filmmaking, it's just changed the landscape of the way a documentary is made. There's a good one coming out about Kurt Cobain that I want to see as well. But, yeah, I'm with you about the music thing. I mean, I don't know. I get a little heated sometimes, and some of it is generational too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I've said this on the show before, where I have to be careful and put myself in check, because the older you get, you don't hear things the way someone, you know, sometimes half your age hears or see things. I mean, my son's 13. You know what I mean? So I don't hear and see things. So sometimes I shoot things down fast. You know what I mean? I'm like, man, that's bullshit. You know what I mean? Or I'll be like, you know, you need to listen to Rakim or something like that. But no, I'll take a second look at stuff and, you know, open your eyes, open your ears, because sometimes you could miss, and it's good to be plugged in.
And we get stubborn as we get older. Let me ask you this. We just talked about documentaries.
Yeah.
Are you more into like the documentaries or biopics?
I'm into everything. Pretty much anything and everything when it comes to film itself. I pretty much live in a state of mind where it's dominated by film of all types. I mean, this weekend I saw two movies, and they were, I think those were biopics, but either or, it depends what mood I'm in.
Yeah,
it's no different than me listening to Jay-Z, to listen to Nas, KRS, Rakim, and the next day I'm listening to Kenny Rogers. I flip it that fast in everything that I do. So I can't say I'm into one more than the other. Why, you had something specific?
No. I mean, there's a few biopics coming up.
What? Oh, you got the NWA coming up.
The NWA.
Yeah.
They got the one with Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah. Well, that was already came out. That came and went. That's what your boy from
3000?
Yeah, Andre 3000. Yeah, you heard it flopped. It's on iTunes. It was actually video on demand. It came out on iTunes.
Yeah, no idea. I saw no marketing for it.
No, they didn't do a good job. Marketing. Yeah, a lot of times they won't. Depending on what it is, you really, just like anything else, you got to hunt for it. I've not seen it, but with little I've read, it didn't receive that many high accolades. Mm. But I would like to see it, because I'm a fan of Andre 3000. I almost said something else.
I was reading, going back to Rich Pryor.
Yeah.
They're doing a
movie.
A movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike Epps is going to. That's an interesting pick. I like Mike Epps, but
I like Epps. He might. I think there's other people that could have played him, but, you know, I'm with it. You know what I mean? Anything Richard Pryor. I don't know if you've seen the documentary called Omit the Logic. You should put that on your radar too if you get a chance to watch Omit the Logic, because it chronicles Richard's some of the chaotic parts of Richard's life. You know, and I guess I can go in a little deeper about what you just asked me about biopics and documentaries. I like documentaries because it covers a detailed span of information. A biopic is difficult to sum up someone's life over a two-hour period, two and a half, sometimes a three-hour movie. It's difficult. I like films like recently I saw Selma, and it covered a specific time in Martin Luther King in Martin Luther King's life. To do it from A to Z, from birth to death, stuff's going to be left out.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta make some stuff up for fillers to keep the story going. And it's just it gets lost in Hollywood. I think it's best to take certain parts. I mean, there are certain films that have pulled it off, but I like. I think when it's done right, like you mentioned, the aforementioned NWA movie coming out, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah,
because I live that. You know what I mean? I live that. That era. That was my time, and it was a strange time because no one believed us. And when I mean by us, I mean black people at the time. And it took something as powerful and as verbally, I guess you could say, verbally vulgar as NWA to say, you know, listen to us, listen to what's going on in the hood. You know what I mean? No one prior to NWA, people have been talking about it. I mean, they talked about it in The Message, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. They've showed it in movies, but it was glorified. It was exploited in tons of films, but it wasn't until the late 80s and 90s with early or late 80s with NWA, Public Enemy, a few other MCs and groups out there that the kids from the suburbs started playing Fuck the Police. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The kids from the suburbs were talking about niggas with attitudes.
And that's where...
That was the changing of America right there. That's when black culture started really seeping into the homes of white America. You couldn't stop it then. You know what I mean? You couldn't. And that's real change. And then when you have someone or an artist out there nowadays, and they're basically, you know, riding the coattails, and they're saying the same thing, and yeah, nothing's changed. The police, you know, when they say fuck the police, it's out of frustration. Right. We're not saying fuck the police like, you know, when we need help, we don't want the police to come. We just want. We want equal. We want equality when it comes to you know, the laws of the land. You know what I mean? Don't come rob us. You know what I mean? Don't come shake us down. Don't treat us differently. Don't shoot us. You know what I mean? If we get pulled over on a broken taillight, you know, that's circa 2015.
Yeah, that my hometown.
South Cackalack.
North,
you know,
Charleston,
I mean?
South Carolina. That's my hometown.
Chucktown.
Funny story. My dad, and I don't know if I told you this, my dad was a sergeant on that police force.
Which was the name of that police officer? I can't remember.
Yeah, North Charleston Police Department. My dad was a sergeant on that when Walter Scott. My dad was a sergeant. He's retired now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny that you mentioned that. You know, and I don't want to get too off topic, but
there's no topic here.
Okay,
we're good. All over the place.
Good, because you know I'm very familiar with that police force, and I'm very familiar with the story of what happened, and I can envision stuff like that happening. You know, I mean, because it happens all the time. We talked about this, right? It just so happens that you know it's not the instances of, you know, police shooting unarmed people that hasn't went up, because it happens all the time. It's just the media coverage of it went up because now people are using that technology and they're capturing this on camera and it's now being seen, right?
Yeah.
And one thing that I think about when I think about that particular story is because it is close to home. I mean, I lived literally a mile, maybe a mile and a half from where that shooting happened. You know, and like I said, my dad was a sergeant for that police force. So, you know, I know I still have friends on that police force. I still have like my godfather is still an officer there, you know, though my dad's retired. And to me, what it comes down to is a lot of these police officers, there's not a lot of background for them to be police officers. Right. The requirement to be a police officer in most places, and I can speak this for North Charleston because I know, is that you just have a 2-year degree. It doesn't matter what the degree is in.
Well, I've heard that I was listening to another podcast, and they were saying that they've turned away people because they were too smart to be police officers.
Right.
They actually questioned authority. And I've had many podcast episodes where I've ranted about the screening process of any position. I don't care if you're a teacher, you could drive a bus. If you're in a position where you are in a position where you're in charge, if you have a chance to influence or treat or even like as a police officer, where you can take someone's life, you need to step up, man. They need to step up and make sure the body cameras are fine, man. But really,
yeah,
it takes that. It takes someone to film it for you to believe me that A, I didn't pull a gun. You know what I mean? I didn't have a knife. You know what I mean? I didn't charge the officer. You know what I mean? I told you I didn't rape the woman. Now you got DNA tests that are letting people out that's been locked up for 30 years.
Yeah.
People, I mean, this frustration, and this is the thing that America can't understand, but they're getting it now because they're getting it on the news. They're getting it in their Twitter feed. They're getting it on Facebook. You can't escape it. But, before, you couldn't understand the frustration that could be in any community that filled with poverty. It's not just a black, it's a Hispanic community. It could be the Arab community. It could be white communities. Anyone in an area that doesn't have the resources that some of the fortunate people throughout the land does. I mean, you're going to always have these things where that corruption will bleed into the people that have the quote-unquote authority.
Yeah, but it also comes down to some of those officers. I mean, they're not educated. My friend...
How could they be?
Yeah, my friend was a music major.
Yeah.
He has a music degree. He John Legend.
Yeah.
Right? Played the piano, can sing very well. And
the singer.
He's a singer. My friend is. And
John Legend, John Legend?
That's not my friend. Oh. I'm just saying my friend is like a John Legend.
Oh, okay.
If I knew John Legend, I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
But probably want to have John Legend on the podcast, your friend.
No, but my friend is, I call him like a John Legend. Right?
Sure. Talented.
Very talented.
Yeah.
Played piano.
Yeah.
Sang. He went to college for music.
Uh-huh.
Right? After college, he didn't really know what to do.
Yeah.
He joined the police force. They let him on because he had a degree.
Yeah.
It didn't matter that that degree was in, it didn't matter that that degree was a music degree.
Mm-hmm.
He had a degree, right? And, nothing against him, but when you think about that, you are taking these people off the street. Another one of my friends went from a footlocker, from fitting shoes on people's feet to holding a gun and having the opportunity to point that gun at somebody and now putting that other person's life in his hands, right? So when it comes to the screening process of police officers, I mean, it's very, very tough because, you want to get enough people on the job, but then, to qualify.
Well, they did that. That happened, and you guys would have to Google it and do the research because, again, I'm no historian. You guys probably already know that. But if you look at the 80s, early 80s in Florida, Miami Beach, that whole area, they had to get rid of whole police departments, whole forces, whole squads had to be let go. Where not only just let go, but are in prison today because the whole place was corrupt. They were hiring criminals and murderers as police officers. Unstable psychopaths. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that all that's going on now, but I'm going to say – I'll say this based on from what we're seeing right in front of us. Not what we saw. Not what we heard. What we are seeing. What we're witnessing right now in America, 2015 – it's going on right in front of you.
It's a different type of corruption, right? I would say in the past, especially in the 80s in Miami, a lot of that corruption was financial based, right?
Drugs. Yeah, cocaine. Right. I mean, that whole.
Now it's a lot of the corruption is social based, right? So you look at certain neighborhoods and you fear that they may have a high crime rate. So you try to take them off the streets so that way that your social status is not affected, right? Yeah, but I look at Ferguson, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but no, I look at Ferguson as being an example of that, especially after the letters from what came out that the police force was talking about as far as we want to make sure that we make the jails as black as possible. And then those were things that were said. Those were things that were said by an officer on that police force, right? And it baffles my mind that you would give somebody a gun and a badge and have them take order on the streets,
yeah,
with the mindset of, you know, let's clean the streets of who we potentially think are, you know, the bad guys just because of the color of their skin.
Well, yeah, the thing is, and this has been going on before, you know,
right.
This
it's been decade, going on. It's
the decade
been going
before
on for
that,
years.
The decade before that. I mean, you take for example, like I think I was telling a story on the show recently. My son asked me who the Calvary was. You know what I mean? I'm the Calvary. You know when people would say that?
Yeah.
We were watching the Fast and the Furious movie, and The Rock comes in and goes, I'm the Calvary. My son, at the end of the movie, my son goes, well, what's a Calvary? And I was like, oh, that was a group of guys that were on horses and wore hats and killed anyone that didn't look like them. You know what I mean? And basically, there's a lot of truth. I'm joking when I say that, when I said that, and I actually was thinking it. I told him, I kind of explained to him in detail what it was, but it's a funny thing because this is something that is trained. This is something that is that has been programmed in your mind that if someone doesn't, if you come and you're, you know, a conquistador or Columbus or someone that comes here and you see someone that doesn't look at you, you're going to automatically deem them as different, call them a savage. You know what I mean? So you can, you know, dehumanize them.
Right.
So that when something is done, inflicted onto them, it's you don't feel anything. You don't care. And this is what people don't understand when we say Black Lives Matter. You know what I mean? We're screaming. Like, we're here. Understand this. We're not saying white lives don't matter, or Asian lives don't matter, or Arab lives don't matter. But understand what the fuck is going on right here in America, in your town, places that you grow up at, what's going on if you get pulled over. And it's not just, it doesn't have to be the poor. I mean, Chris Rock, if you go to Chris Rock on Instagram and follow him, he's been pulled over 3 or 4 times right now. One of them, they were pulled over while they were shooting a TV episode with Jerry Seinfeld on his television show, Jerry's television show, web series, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Yeah.
And Chris Rock joked, he goes, you know, I feel better. I feel safe because I'm with you in the car. You know what I mean? Joke, yes. But there was a level of being, you know, almost deadly serious right there, because you don't know what the hell's going to pop off, because whether you know it or not, if you're automatically programmed, I mean, what I mean by you, I mean certain people throughout this land or throughout the world is programmed to say, think the different or someone that looks different mainly by their skin color is the enemy. You know what I mean? And what do you do with the enemy? You shoot them, you kill them, right? Right? Dogs right. get yeah. treated better than black people. You know what I mean? Dogs get treated better. You know what I mean? I mean, I've been in retail establishments. I'm in the wine industry and I see things that go on. I've seen how people get treated way differently than someone that is not black. You know what I mean? It goes on whether you know it or not. Now, how do you fix it? You know, it's a solution. I don't know. You got to educate. You got to recognize that there is a problem, even within, you know, ourselves. You know, I look at myself and say, you know, what can I do? But right now it's deadly. I mean, you get pulled over. You don't know if you're going to make it back. I mean, I got pulled over. I work a couple jobs. At one time, I was working like three different jobs, and I was grinding out, not making anything, just getting deeper and deeper in debt. And I was tired. It was about a year, could have been a year, 2 years ago, about 2 years ago, I think it was, two and a half years ago. And I was beat. You know, sometimes when you're driving, you're going to and from and back and forth. And I had
swerving and shit.
Yeah, I had my son in the back of the car, right? And I was going to my brother's house. And there's a stop sign. And I must have ran the stop sign. You know, I knew I was tired. But I drive for a living. You know what I mean? I'm always paying attention to the road,
right,
speed limit, stuff like that. So maybe I probably did. I probably ran the stop sign. To this day, I'm not sure. I was that tired. I wasn't thinking. So I got pulled over, right? But being that I was tired, I still wasn't thinking, right? And we got pulled over. So I pulled over, and I was like, yeah, I don't know, right by my brother's house. So I pulled over right in front. You know what I mean? I turned the corner and just like, I'll just stop right here. Still, I'm still tired, right? My son's in the back seat. He's sleepy. It's kind of late, right? I just wanted to get him home, get him out of the car. For some reason, I don't know why I did this. It was a big mistake on my part. I got out of the car.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Right? I got out fast. I just got out of the car, and I went around as if I was going to open up the door where my son was. I don't know if I was planning on taking him out or what, show him I had a kid. I just wasn't thinking right. Like, A, you don't get out of the car, right?
Right.
Rule number one, don't move. Driving while black, DWB. Right? I get out. The cop jumps out, and he's got his hand, you know, on his holster, right? And he's screaming, like, get the fuck back in your, you know what I mean? And it was on right there. And then it snapped me back, you know what I mean? I was like, I realized what I'd done, right? And I froze and you know, straightened up and got back into the right position to let him know that, you know, everything's okay. But even still, I think about that now because let's say if he would have been fast on the draw and put me down, then what?
You would have been gone.
Done.
And there would have been nobody there to videotape it.
No.
So it would have never got seen.
He made a move. You know what I mean? He made a sudden move, and the cop was threatened. Imagine how many hundreds of – I don't even know, man. I'm scared to even think about this. But imagine how many hundreds or thousands of people that did something like that. And they're not here anymore. And there were no video. And there's no technology. Go 10 years ago, 20 years ago, there's nothing.
Yeah, and like I said, it's not the fact that these instances are being elevated and that there's starting to be a lot more of them now. Yeah. It's just the fact that there's a lot more media around them because technology is evolving. People are recording this, but there's a lot of video now. Body cams are showing a lot of this now.
Well, the guy got I saw in the news the other day, and I was just channel surfing.
The dude charged at the cop and didn't shoot? Is that what you're talking about?
I think the cop thought he was pulling his taser and actually pulled his gun and shot him.
Oh, no, that's a different story.
Yeah. Yeah. And the cop's not going to be.
It was an accident.
And it's on camera, too.
How do you mistake a taser for a gun?
But see, it's always going to be some way to get around the camera. You know what I mean? It's always going to be some way to get around the camera because it's always going to be them against us. That's the thing that they need to stop. It should be us and us. It shouldn't be this divider, you know what I mean, where it's them against us. I get it. There's some shitbirds out there that definitely make their job challenging. But keep in mind, you know, I don't speak for every neighborhood, but, I mean, we need police just like anyone else does. You know what I mean? Tupac said it best. The same shit that y'all are afraid of is the same stuff black people are afraid of in the hood. Yeah. The same stuff. Pac said that back in the day. The same stuff. You know what I mean? Don't think that we're not. We're afraid of criminals. We're afraid of being robbed. We're afraid of being shot by the criminals and the police. Imagine that heat. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, can you think about that?
I mean, walking to your car in your neighborhood, looking over your shoulder. And then when you get in your car, you got to look over your shoulder for the blue lights. Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. It's a, you don't know, man. I mean, you just, you just have to, you know, it's being a parent and then being a parent of a son, a father of a son. It's something that I talk to my boy. I don't know if you've talked to your son about stuff like this, but it's always been serious times, but there comes a certain time in your life where you have to be able to protect and be able to educate the younger generation. And in my case and yours as well, is what do you tell your child? You know what I mean? Because you're always going to be different. You know what I mean? You're always going to be different. You're always going to be treated different.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. Like, I remember when I used to run the streets of Flint, and it's a rough area. I started getting into a lot of foul stuff, a lot of craziness. And my old man knew it, and he would stay on my back and stuff about this side and the other. But he would try to tell me in certain ways, on, you know, whether it's the way I dress or the jewelry or whatever it was, the crew I hung with, and how that would impact when the time came. You know what I mean? And a time will come when you'll get picked up by the police or you'll be in front of a judge, how that will influence that decision, right? And I really wasn't hearing it, you know, because when you're young, you don't really hear things. Like, you're just, you know, we kind of don't respect the elders and we think we know it all. But there was this one time, and this stands out. There was a time when we were arguing about something, and I was just running with the wrong crew. Now that I look back, I can see it. But I was running with the wrong crew, and we were doing whatever we wanted, whenever we wanted. And my old man was really frustrated with me, and he took me and he slammed me up against the wall, and I was like, we were just yelling at each other, and I remember he looks at me and he goes, you know. He goes, as much as you think that you are one of them, you're not. You'll never be one of them. You know what I mean? Meaning you're always going to be different. Doesn't matter what side of the tracks you're on, no matter who, you know, what financial state you're in, you're always going to be different and looked at as different. You won't. And I stuck in. I think about to this day. I mean, that happened many, many, many moons ago. And I know what he was saying at that time, you know, because if I get caught slipping, right, and I assimilate, you know, and my guard's down, you know what I mean. There's no telling what's going to happen,
right?
You know what I mean. You're always going to be looked at, even amongst your own. You know what I mean. Your quote unquote own, meaning you could be around brothers and sisters that look like you, that dress like you, that have the same skin color as you, but when it's all said and done, you have to protect yourself. And that's a theme that I've always pushed within my own son, my own flesh and blood, is that you have to be aware of your surroundings and be able to protect yourself and read what's going on. Because at the end of the day, I'm not going to be there all the time. You know what I mean? So it's scary, man. It's something that I think it's like you said. You know the neighborhood in South Carolina. Most people, when I think of South Carolina, you know, I think of, I don't know. I just think it's country.
You think of palmetto trees, right?
Yeah,
country.
Yeah, I just think it's someplace you go to, you visit.
Beautiful white women.
Yeah, lemonade. Yeah. I think of lemonade. And, I think of, you know, fried chicken.
Yeah, I think we got that down there too.
Yeah, yeah. Fish fries. I think of, you know, just good
crab cracks.
Yeah, music.
You ever had a crab crack?
What?
A crab crack?
What's that?
You never have been in a crab crack?
Never.
You get this big ass bucket of crabs.
Yeah.
And you get the newspaper.
Yeah.
And you lay it on the table.
Yeah. We have that here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have that here. I don't think it's called that. It's just eating crabs.
No.
It could be called crab. I'm not really big on that because I don't like getting stuff on my hands. You know what I mean?
You want them pretty? See, and you wonder why the yellow dudes used to get teased? I'm not going to eat these crabs. I don't want to get my hands dirty.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the reason.
You're the reason. Yeah. But yeah, man, like I said, like right around the corner, it's such a difference from the area where that happened, man, because when you think of that area, you think of Charleston, like which has been voted in the top of tourist cities in the nation for years.
Yeah.
And it also was voted as the top area and city for, you know, some of the most beautiful people in the country. You know, that's where I'm from. So that's
beautiful person, huh?
You can tell.
Mark Anthony.
You can tell. But
red gravy.
Yeah. But there's still that It's just like any other city where you have that border. You have that Charleston area, and then you have the North Charleston area.
Yeah.
And that North Charleston area is where all that stuff and the crime and stuff happens, right? And that's
but
that's,
it's everywhere.
It's like it's, that everywhere.
And the thing about it is, it's a it's creeping in to everyone's home, just because of what you said earlier, the technology, the amount of information that we're getting hit with. You can't escape it. Everyone has a phone in their back pocket. Everyone.
Most everyone.
Just about, man. I'm telling you. I've seen homeless people. I've seen people on the streets with cell phones. Everyone has access to something.
Yeah.
You know, you can go to the library and jump on computers. I mean,
you can sit at a Best Buy window and look at
yeah. TV. I mean, information you know? Is there. It's not like you have to wait till, you know, Sunday or to catch the evening news like back in the day. So it's out there. And people don't like what they're seeing. They don't like. They definitely don't want it. You know, when they see it on television and it's in their living room, but when they step outside, they don't want it in their neighborhood. But it's coming. You know what I mean? And this is why. This is why you have, you know, the demonstrations, and this is why you're having body cams being put in. But I mean, there's cameras everywhere. Everywhere you right. walk, I can't even pick my nose without someone catching it. You know what I mean? There's a camera in the ceiling. The eye in the sky watches everyone.
To make that effort to do all that, you know, at least something's being said or attempted to be done about it. But you know, it's the same thing. It'll all go for a circle again, and you don't know what's gonna happen from here. So
evolution, and that's what's up. So we got a little serious.
I'm over here. This is my first podcast. I mean, we got very deep there.
Yeah. No, you know what I mean? You're a deep person. I've never really had a chance to talk with you without being interrupted. So that's good. And we hit those subjects, you know, race, violence, in the streets, crab, what do you call it? Crab what?
Crab cracks.
Crab cracks.
Crab cracks.
Wow. Yeah. No, I'm sure we have them here. Because like the Chesapeake, that's, you know, some of the top, I mean, seafood is everywhere in this.
So when you think of South Carolina, you think of shit like hoedowns.
Yeah,
and
I don't really think of South Carolina though. You know what I mean? I always think of North Carolina.
No, nobody does.
When I think of Carolina, I always think of, I don't know why I think of, probably, you know, I always just think of, I've been to North Carolina. I think I've been to South Carolina.
And nobody thinks of South Carolina.
Yeah, no, not much though. But I think it's my perception of South Carolina is more, you know, calming. You know what I mean? That area seems relaxing, almost vacation like. But I'd have to spend time there. Never have. You know what I mean? Have you been to Michigan?
No.
Too cold. Yeah. See, that's you didn't even hesitate.
No, it's too cold.
Didn't even hesitate. You know. Same thing about Virginia. You know, Virginia. It's, you know, every I think every state has, you know, there's something that you know, some stamp that you put on it, but. You know, what are you going to do? The South to me now, you know, South Carolina itself doesn't represent all this wrong with the world. You know what I mean? Just because of what's going on down there. It's more, it's still the same. You know what I mean? It's something that we all can relate to.
Yeah. To me, it's still
home.
It's still home.
Yeah.
It's still a beautiful place, beautiful city.
Yeah, and there's beautiful people everywhere. I mean, you can't just condemn, you know, a whole state because of stuff that's going on. I mean, it's going on everywhere, and that's what I think people need to take away from it. And if you know, you guys listen to the podcast too, I mean, it's everywhere. We just need to recognize, and you know, we definitely need to, you know, contact our leaders and let people know that we're not happy with things that are going on. If it takes body cams, that's fine. You know, if that's going to protect, you know, the next generation and the generations to come, more cameras, you know, that's just how it's going to have to be. But at the same time, we need to be careful because the double-edged sword to that is how much freedom are you willing to give up for this quote-unquote safety? You know what I mean? If you look at the big picture, we're starting to give up a lot of privacy.
Yeah,
everything on your phone, to your fingerprint, to the cameras, to audio, all this stuff around. You're relinquishing a lot of freedom, and who's controlling that? That's another podcast. You know what I mean? Who has all that information? Whether it's something on your phone, something on your watch, something, you know, in your media center, something that's on the street light. You know what I mean? Recently. Case in point, the ESPN reporter, that has been under fire.
Yeah.
She's been under fire. Britt McHenry, who worked here in the D.C. area before going to ESPN, she got her car was towed. I think it was towed in this area, in Arlington or somewhere.
Yeah, in Arlington.
Yeah, Arlington, Virginia. And what happened was, this is kind of old news, but some of you may or may not have heard of it. You can Google Britt McHenry, and you don't have to Google it. If you just go to Twitter and hit a search and just hit hashtag and type in B-R-I-T, you won't even have to spell out the rest. It'll come up, and there's thousands of comments. And this woman, this poor girl, I hate to say it, man, this poor girl is just getting, she's getting massacred. She's getting massacred online. What happened was she got it, her car was towed. She went to pick her car up from the towing company. And upon arrival, she's trying to get processed. She's having a bad day, right? I don't know. I'm sure everyone is. Have you ever got your car towed?
Yeah. Yeah.
How'd you feel?
I felt very upset, especially since I thought I parked in a spot that was legal, but apparently I didn't. But yeah, she was upset. I didn't get that upset, but yeah.
Yeah. So if you've been in that situation, it's every bit of, a couple hundred dollars, if not $200 or $300 to get your car back. So she was bent. And she was not happy. So she started taking it out on the person doing the processing, which, again, that's not right, but that's the person in front of you. I mean, I had a situation the other day where I was trying to get some stuff processed and I lost it, right? But if you ever lost it where you get quiet, like the type of anger where you just look at something and you just focus on it and you just look and you just like, you know, and you talk really calm. That's how mad I was. That time I was dealing with someone on customer service and it was over the phone though. So I knew I'd called earlier. I've been trying to get some paperwork processed to become a member of the Creek Nation. I'm part Native American. And I called and they gave me some information one time and then the next time it was more. And so I told them, I was like, oh, okay. I said, you know, and you know, when you get mad and you breathe, I was like, you know, you guys are really moving this goalpost for me. And I was like, you're what's happening is there's a lot of hoops, right? I said, well, sorry. There's a lot of hoops that I'm going to have to jump through to get you this information that you need.
You get mad and you get quiet and very serious.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, and you could just hear me breathe. And I know she could hear me breathing on the phone, right? You know, and I said, that's okay. I don't mind jumping through the hoops. But right now, this is like climbing a hill of feathers. And it just got quiet. It just got quiet on the phone. I was just like, right now. And I'm losing it too. So I'm just looking. I'm staring at something. I think I was staring at a pen or something like that on the bed just so I wouldn't lose my mind. And I was just like, this is like climbing a hill of feathers. All you hear is silence. And she got quiet and I was like, I just hung up, right? And poor girl, you know what I mean? I'm sure, you know, that's sometimes worse than cursing at someone. But I knew. I've been in customer service. I'm in customer service. I'm out every day trying to sell product, and it's an area where I try and exercise caution and respect for that other person. Sometimes we do lose it, right? Yeah. Does that mean you should get fired or reprimanded or does that give the other person the right to videotape you and release it to the public so you can get a public shaming?
Yeah, and that I think that's the point of this particular story. You know what I mean? I don't think it's so bad that she lost and she got upset. Now, of course, once they found out who she was, they released the tape. And then, you know, you also got to look at some of the things that she said as well. you know. But at the same time, when you're mad, you're not really thinking that much. So you're just going to say the first thing that comes to your mind most times.
Yeah. I mean, she did. She lost it. She, yeah, she said a lot of, I mean, just a lot of mean stuff. I mean, when you're in customer service, you kind of expect that because people, I think a lot of people I know over the past 10 years have become more demanding again with the technology, and you're able to download stuff at a super high rate. Everybody gets stuff instantly now. So they want it when they want it. And when you can't deliver, when there's a hiccup in the system, all hell breaks loose. You know what I mean? I'm going to see if I can pull up the video for anyone listening. Let's see. Let's see if this works. Hold on, people. Bear with me.
Do you feel good about your job? So I could be a college dropout and do the same thing? Why? Because I have a brain and you don't?
Looks like
that. Maybe if I was missing some teeth, they would hire me, huh?
Yeah, but if you had to touch your
So she's
oh, like yours? Well, they look so stunning. Because I'm on television and you're in a fucking trailer, honey.
Have a nice
lose some weight, baby girl.
So, yeah, I think that was the nail in the coffin by saying she's on television and whatever she said after that and told her to lose some weight.
Everything else up to that point.
Yeah. She was venting.
Yeah, it was just venting.
And I think we've all experienced that.
I've been in that same situation to where I was like, yo, when I got my car towed, I was like, man, are you serious? $300.
Yeah, you got to pay.
You know what I mean?
But that's the rule.
It's the rule.
That's the rule.
And I paid, and I was upset about it.
Yeah, but you're wrong too. You know you're over the limit. Something. I got a parking ticket.
Yeah.
I had a wine event, a film premiere. Actually, I went to a couple weeks ago with one of the guys that I work with, Adam Carolla, and he was in town. We had the film event. I parked, but I forgot that at 4 o'clock in DC, you can't park on the street. I got $100 ticket. Right. I was pissed. But if I saw the person that wrote it, I wouldn't lash out at that person just because of my frustration. Even if I saw them and said, could you stop? Could you stop? Could you stop? Could you stop? You know, and they did. That's the job. It's already in motion.
Yeah.
That's the game. You know what I mean?
Like my frustration came because at the time I didn't have $300.
Yeah. No, you never
dropping,
do.
Yeah.
You never do.
Dropping that on. But, you know, I can kind of, in a sense, understand her tirade.
Yeah.
But, like, she did what every, and this is what all women do.
Yeah.
All women.
You hear that, ladies?
Listen, ladies, you know you do this shit. But what she did, what all women do,
mm-hmm.
is when you're not getting the reaction that you want,
yeah.
you start going for the low blows.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what she did. So she's not guilty of being mad in this case. I think she's guilty, and I might get a lot of backlash for this, but I think she's just guilty of being a woman. Right, I mean they're serious because that's what a lot of women do when they argue. It's like if you're not hearing it, and I know this from my past. If you're not giving her that satisfaction that you give a fuck what she's saying, and you're just like whatever, and you're still gonna get your way, then she's gonna try to hit you with the low blow.
And that's what women do.
And that's what most women do, especially when they argue.
Let me just say to my listeners that those are views. Of Red.
Yes, these are my views.
Those are views of Red, not American Riddle or the host of the American Riddle podcast, Malcolm Riddle. I'm not going to generalize what or how all women react or feel. But that's for Mark, okay?
That's for me. Yeah, I get a disclaimer. Like, I ain't never letting this nigga back on the show.
That's right.
But I know that from a lot of experiences that I had. Like, yeah. I've been in arguments with women.
What's some of the low blows that they've done?
Like, I've been in arguments with women to where, like...
Called you said you weren't a man? That's an easy one. That one pisses people off all the time, too, huh?
But I was already.
You're not a man! What the fuck?
No, I was
actually,
with this girl.
Actually, I am.
I was with this girl.
Be a real man.
I was with this girl, right?
Be a real woman. How's that? You want to be real?
All right, let me finish real quick.
Go ahead.
So I was with this girl, and, you know, things were good. Mm-hmm. Things were good with us. And then it just got to a point to where, you know, I just wasn't feeling it, right?
The relationship.
The relationship. And then...
you guys weren't on the same page.
We were not on the same page.
We weren't going in the same direction.
Right. So she... So I'm sitting down, I'm having that conversation with her. And at this point, she loses it.
She wasn't
fuck
having
you,
it.
Fuck you. Fuck this.
Yeah.
You ain't shit.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm done at this point. So...
Did she call you a motherfucker?
Yeah. Like 50 times. Right?
How did I know that?
So I'm done, right? And I'm just like, I'm walking out. And as I'm walking out, she hits me with some, that's right, you ain't fucked me like my old boyfriend fucked me.
Like, that's pretty low.
Like, that's okay.
How long were you with this woman?
I was with her for a couple of years. But and I'm still thinking to myself, but I still fucked you.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. Like, why would you even bring that up?
Because she knew.
Like, why would you bring that up?
She knew.
You trying to hit me with a low blow? Like it didn't affect me none. I didn't care. You know what I mean? I don't care about it.
That's a low blow, but I think it changes, or at least it's changed with some of the women I've been with, because now it's changed where the low blows are to get me and hit me financially. You know what I mean? They don't. I haven't got a lot of name calling, but financially, they know that the wallet, that sting lasts a lot longer.
It does.
That's a tough pill. And how did you handle that?
I walked the fuck out.
Really?
So you didn't? I'm good. Yeah, like, I was good. Like I this girl, like we was off and on. Like I've been through so much with this chick.
Yeah.
Like she punched me in my mouth.
She punched you in the mouth.
In the mouth on the middle of the interstate. Like in the middle of the interstate. This is not a Kevin Hart joke. Like this shit happened for real.
She punched you in the mouth.
Yeah. Because we was driving down the interstate.
Well, you who was driving?
I was driving. I was driving down the interstate. We had just went out on a date or some shit. And we got into some kind of argument. And she said, The same chick. And she hit me with some, she hit me with some, oh, well, that's why, you know, I was going through your phone or some bullshit. And I was like, you know what?
She was trying to strike a nerve.
I'm just going to take you home.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take you
home. She wasn't having it.
No, she wasn't having it. And I said something like, you know what? Like, I'm not going to fuck with you no more.
Yeah.
Bow! Right in my mouth, on the interstate.
You spoke out of turn.
Going about 70, 75, swerved two lanes.
And she
but I didn't see this shit coming. It was nighttime.
And she was she's that confident that you weren't going to crash into someone. She flipped the car.
She didn't give a fuck.
Was it a good punch?
Well, it startled me.
Yeah, because it was in the mouth.
It was in the mouth. It startled me.
Was it the side of the mouth, or was she able to, you know, get it
wrap
right,
around?
Right, wrap around into the center. Like,
it wasn't wrap around. It was one of those. I think she wanted to do it, but then she thought about it, so and then she said, "Fuck it, I'm going to go ahead and go with it." And it was one of those, like you just straighten your arm out,
but pop me in the lip. Did she hit like a girl, or did she have a good jab?
Well, I mean,
or just the fact that she did it.
I mean, she didn't have a lot of reach room. It was a Toyota Corolla.
Yeah, it's like fighting.
She didn't have a lot of.
It's like fighting in a phone booth.
Yeah, she didn't have a lot of reach room. Yeah, so
she couldn't really put her body or weight into it.
So that happened, and I was like, you know what?
Was she a big girl?
Nah, she
wasn't. Little girl?
She
petite?
She wasn't petite. She was average.
Average size?
Yeah. Big ass titty. But, you know.
We like big titties on this podcast.
She's cute. Very, very, very cute. Like, when you see her in the street, you wouldn't even think
I had one like that. I had one that was.
Wouldn't even think it.
I had one like that that was petite, pretty. Like, what's the chick's name? Almost Halle Berry-ish, kind of like, what's the other chick that was a Miss USA? Really hot, pretty, nice body. You wouldn't even think that she was violent. And same thing. I broke up with her, right? Told her, you know, same thing, man. You know, this isn't going in the right direction. And she charged. I told you the story, didn't I?
Yeah, I told you the story.
Yeah, she went ape shit. She went berserky erky and charged through a door, right? You know, when you shut the bedroom door, she came through that, hit me. I fell into a fan, one of those old, kind of a antique steel fans that sliced my forearm wide open. Because she went, it was no, there's no answer. I was like, this bitch is going to fuck, she's going to fucking kill me. Yeah. Yeah. You're showing me a picture of her. Huh?
Don't look crazy at all, right?
No, no, man. She looks like the girl next door. That's crazy, man. I had the same girl. She popped me once. She said she popped me. I didn't want to talk about this shit, man. It's going to get depressed. I got popped so hard one time, I couldn't hear. Like, I couldn't fucking hear. I'm driving.
You had that ringing noise?
I wasn't even driving. She was driving, right? She was dropping me and my mans off at work, right? And we were driving and said, we were talking. And I guess I was ignoring her. This bitch was batshit crazy now that I think about it. And she hit me with an open hand on the side of the head and the ear. And my ear was ringing. And I thought, I had to do the same thing I did with the customer service lady. I had to focus on something. I think I focused on the glove compartment box. You know, the glove box handle? I had to look straight ahead at that, right? Because I was going to – I had a couple choices, right? Right? Focus on that or choke the living shit out of this bitch right here and right
now. You go to jail, though.
No, we all die in the car. We all die. We all perish. Today in the news, 3 people burned to death in a fiery death.
Wait. She smacked you from your mans?
Yeah. And I caught hell for a year because we broke up. Time went on. But to this day, I bet you if I get together with my man, he's going to say, remember that time you got popped? They said straight up, we got to work here. Mal, I thought you was going to kill her. Dude. I was like, you see me? I had to focus. But sometimes you got to do that. And I think, you know, police should listen to this podcast because sometimes you got to just restrain yourself, right?
Yeah.
And focus on, especially being a man. You got to focus.
Dude, man.
Focus, people.
Relationship stories, I got them shits for days, man.
Yeah? You been popped in the mouth since?
Since her?
Yeah.
Nah.
I don't get popped.
I'm smarter than that now. I know when to keep my mouth shut. Now.
Like I said, all my pops these days, it goes right into the pocket. They know. They figured it out somehow. We got his ass now. Yeah. We got his ass now. We know exactly how to break him down. And that seems to work pretty well for them, not me. You know what I mean?
I don't let him get in my pockets. I never talk money with any female. I don't even talk money with my baby mama.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Not yeah. just any random person. No,
I don't ever talk money with any female. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what I make.
Your jingle,
huh?
Your jingle. You don't talk jingle.
No,
you know
I don't.
I mean? They're counting your change. Your
I don't.
Jingle.
You know why? The reason why?
You could get in trouble. Donald Sterling.
You never
prime example.
That. Like you. First and foremost, it's intriguing.
Yeah.
It's intriguing.
How'd that motherfucker get money?
You know what I mean? It's intriguing because, you know, I dress nice.
That motherfucker got change.
You know, I dress nice and like you can't really tell if I got money or not sometimes. So I like to keep them intrigued but not talking money, right?
Yeah.
But then also, if I get into deep with this woman or whatever, like and they know how much I make, then that gives them the extra leverage.
Your cheddar.
You know what I mean? They give them the extra leverage.
Your papes.
No.
Your scrizzy.
Okay. How we call it?
That
guap.
The guap.
Let them know right. about that guap.
Guap. Guap means what?
Guap means money.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so man.
You're green.
However you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Cheddar, cheese, guap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You heard that, y'all. I mean, just jumping there?
Yeah.
But anyways, I don't do that. The only reason that will change is if I ever get married. You know, because you got to talk money with your wife.
You got to.
I mean, because y'all pay bills together. Y'all live in the same house. Right now?
Open. Communication.
Dude, I can have $2 to my name right now, and nobody would know that shit.
Yeah, well, moving forward, I think, in any relationship, I think you have to, walk with caution, you know, male or female. It doesn't matter because there's some nuts out here like Donald Sterling. You know what I mean? The owner of what was it? Clippers.
Yeah, from the
right?
Clippers.
Did you see what just happened on the news?
They made that girl pay, right?
Man, oh man! So Donald Sterling, for those of you remember this story, he had a relationship a relationship with a young lady more than half his age. He was in her, what, 20s, and he's like 99? You know what I mean? Giving her, you know, gifts. She said they never had sex, right? I'm sure she
broke that nigga off.
Yeah, I'm sure she
broke his ass off.
She, you know, wet him down and then put talc on him. You know what I mean? Them old timers. You gotta
shout out to Gilmore.
That's right. You gotta you know, rub him down with talc or something. Something's coming out of the deal. Them dudes know how the game. They invented the game. But yeah, she was. She recently, the wife, you know, took her to court, which I think that was wrong anyway. The dude shouldn't have lost his team. But again, judge, jury, and executioner, once the social media speaks, what?
That's true, but like he didn't lose it. He sold his team.
He was forced out.
Yeah, he was forced out, but he sold it. But he made a billion off the sale, damn near. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's not like he's losing.
No.
You know what I mean? No.
But she loses the most because if she would have just kept her mouth shut, I mean, I don't even know.
Look, she did not follow the number one rule of side chicks.
Shut the fuck up.
That's the number. If you a side chick, and this is a public service announcement to side chicks out there, but if you a side chick, your job is just to stand on the side, get paid whatever you're getting paid, and shut the fuck up. It's that simple. See, if you follow the rules, then you wouldn't be in that position. Yes, you got a little bit of cred and money up front, but then that shit is all gone now.
Yeah, I mean, she had Ferrari.
Yeah.
She had a couple cars.
She had the Bentley. I remember the Bentley.
Yeah, she had property. And, I guess the ex-wife took her to court. And the judge ruled in the ex-wife's favor. And she has to return all that. Now, that's the reality show I want to see.
Yes.
Because I want to see how this woman deals with the real world as far as having everything, sitting in the lap of luxury, and then having nothing and trying to make it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Going backwards, right? So that's so crazy. All she had to do.
Going backwards is a motherfucker.
Shut up. You know what I mean? All she had to do was just shut up.
Going backwards is. Have you ever gone backwards?
Going backwards
is a motherfucker. Yeah. The thing about. Like, you always hear stories of stockbrokers and business people jumping, taking headers off of skyscrapers and stuff because they lose everything. The reason why you don't see many brothers do that is because usually we started at the bottom somewhere, right? So we had nothing, got something, and then when we lose it once or twice again, you already know what it tastes like. You know what I mean? So I already know what it tastes like to you know, to suck a turd. It's a no. I'm dead serious, man. Yeah. I'm dead serious. So here, there's the billionaire wife, blah 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 blah. Owner got her revenge against a woman he secretly showered with gifts, and whose recording of his race offensive rants cost him ownership of the team. So kind of that's true. So here it is, right here. Look, she surrendered $1.8 million duplex. And the return of $800,000 lavished on her in cash handouts. Damn. So she had a house, 1.8 mil, 800 G's, luxury cars, including a Ferrari. And that's all gone. I'm telling you, that's the reality show you want to see. Because, it's like I said, it's one thing to be in a position and, you know, you work your way up. You know, from poverty, and you make it, and then something happens, you know, a bit of bad fortune, and then you go back, and you got to try to rebuild because you've already tasted it. You know what I mean? You know, one of the reasons why I don't take a header off the bridge every day is because I've already tasted it. Like, I've tasted what it's like to have and not have. It's all, you know, readjusting. You know, once you've tasted it, you just kind of readjusting. But what about the people like this who all they know is diamonds and furs and Ferraris? How does she even? I mean, does she suck another dick? Like, what does she got to do to get back on top?
Well, first and foremost, I think, I mean, to me, she wasn't really that pretty.
No, man, she. She looked like a Kleon.
She did.
She looked like a damn Romulan or something.
It's
like
going to be hard for her to find
weird
another
face. Like something was wrong, right? She was weird.
I'm gonna tell you, man.
And that's with makeup.
I can't even imagine going from a Bentley.
Bitch looked like she was from the Outer Rim.
I can't imagine going from a Bentley.
Yeah.
And yeah. Once again, no offense to anybody who drives one of these.
What?
But going to like one of those Hyundai Elantras, yeah. or those Santa Fe's, from a Bentley to go to a Hyundai Santa Fe.
It's
a Kia Rio.
Yeah. It's I mean, she might wind up belly up somewhere, man.
She might.
Like, straight up. It's not a good story. But karma's a bitch.
It is.
You know what I mean? And you got to know what's up out here. You got to protect yourself. I said it, you know, a while ago in this podcast. You got to be on top of your game. And you can't always suck your way to the top. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes you can. But in this case, I think she got what was coming to her. You know what I mean? Far as Britt McHenry, you know, she's going to have a tough road. She's going to have a tough road because
she's bad, though. So
she's blonde.
She's
blonde.
She's blonde and fiery. Those are my types.
Yeah. She's trouble, though. She's trouble. Trust me. You know, just attitude. She's young. You know what I mean? She was new to the game. She mouthed off. You know what I mean? And she's getting a little taste of it as well. I don't think it's all right that the company releases video like that. I mean, I don't think people should be able to just release stuff without permission. I think you'll see some laws changing that. But I mean, what are you gonna do, man? You gotta treat people with respect, even when there's injustice. There's ways to handle stuff.
Yeah.
When it comes to getting tickets, getting your car towed, you know what I mean? You knew it was coming.
That's true.
You get popped in your mouth, you know what I mean, by your girl because you broke up with her. You knew it was coming, you know what I mean? You knew she was unstable, right? Right?
Yeah.
Right?
I knew.
Yeah, you knew, just like I knew. I knew the bitch was crazy. You just said just now, Britt McHenry was fiery, that's what you want. So you want to get popped in the mouth again.
Oh, she ain't going to pop me in the mouth.
What?
I'll let you know.
You don't know people, so you gotta protect yourself at all times. So that's just an introduction to the man they call Red from South Cackalack, from Chucktown,
Charlie O.
You know what I mean? We got a little serious. We covered some ground. We covered some music, race relations, police ops.
Yeah,
social media.
I wouldn't have to say next time I join you. We're not gonna get so deep. I want to, want to laugh.
Yeah, we can do that.
Fun show.
We'll
do
it.
This was fun. I enjoyed myself. Got real deep.
That's all right. We get deep. We get deep, and we'll make a party of it next time. But I told the people in the last episode, I said we're gonna talk about some serious stuff next time because the past couple ones I've been joking around. So
okay,
but I don't script it anyway, so I don't know what the fuck.
That's true.
Where we're gonna go?
You had me reevaluate my life with some of these conversations that we was having today. I was like, when I get off the show, I got to call my son.
The same stuff, we think about and we just talked about, the same stuff the people that listen to it think about and talk about. That's why I need you guys listening to give us some feedback. You know what I mean? Let us know what's up, what you like, what you don't like. Like I said, we're still evolving on this program, and I appreciate all the feedback from the people that have been listening and sending me tweets, emails. Got a couple phone calls also. So a big shout out to Amanda Kaufman, good friend of mine. She broke it down the last podcast to me. So I appreciate her listening. Casey Hines, you know what I mean, just broke her ankle. Big shout out to her because she's a longtime listener as well. And on that note, you guys know how I end it. Domino, motherfucker. If I gotta go out, I'm going out the Full Metal Jacket style. Reverse suicide to do or die. I'm broke, I lost my deal, my car, my bra. And me and my landlord be at war for the rent. Yo, Ian Keith, it's time to rob and steal. See that First National Bank? I'm showing my grill. Fuck a mask and a glove, I'm worldwide for drugs. Turn your TV on, that's me on America's. Most wanted, but most blunted. That tricky shit you did, I done it. We rock here for deer hunting. When we do jaws, me and my dogs ready to get it. Snatch you out for 5 series like I'm winning the pennant. Even at 112 degrees, sky's the limit. Sodomize the style till you idolize the finish. Sucker MCs get stuck too, fuck you. And if you blink, I'ma show you shit I'll be up to. Cause if this shit get thick, yo. And if you act at all that, yo. And if we lose our jaws, yo.
I know you niggas checking me out. Yo, yo, I know y'all niggas checking me out. Yo, I know y'all niggas checking us out. I know y'all niggas checking me out. Yo, yo, yo.
Who want the sauce? The E got 65 mics, so I guess I got shit that motherfuckers like. Some rappers, they choose to be disobedient. Dummies, advance the skills from intermediate. I'm suave with it, my rhyme, I play with it. I cut the style up and DJ with it. Can you help me? Ask Bill Belly me what's the jam of the week. When he speak, it be something my freak. Who gives a fuck? I show and prove I got juice. Drop my jaws and let my balls hang loose. The Green Eyed Bandit shuts it down quickly. Taking care of business since Strictly. Cats talk behind my back, I get heated. And bust a shot from the CLK two-seated. The squad do work quick, fast, in a hurry.
Me, Eric Sir.
From Dr. Spot and Keith Murray.
Cause if this shit get thick,
we sick of yo.
And if you act at all that, yo. And if we lose our jobs,
yo.
I know you niggas checking me out.
Yo.
I know y'all niggas checking me out.
Yo.
I know y'all niggas checking us out. I know y'all niggas checking me out. Yo.
Now if your bitch is paging me, you best to check your bitch. And if your bitch is in my whip, you best to check your bitch. And if your bitch is on my dick, nigga,
check your bitch.
And if my click, fuck your bitch,
then check your bitch.
Hey yo, I'm sly as a fox, smooth as Hennessy over the rocks. Knock you out your boots, slide you out your socks. I see you checking me out, you felt it. When I stepped in, rocking gators in electric blue velvet. I see you checking me out through the corner of your eye. You denied, but yo, you ain't got the lie. You checking me out till your eyes get sore. But that's alright, playboy, cause that's what I'm here for. Check how I get biz. Me and the microphone is like the junkyard dog and the Haiti kid. Violated, reinstated, genuinely elated. You're belated, you be checking me out to the day I'm cremated. I keep you heavily sedated, illified, illustrated. The original juice, not from concentrated. From up north to Midwest to West Coast to down south. No doubt, keep checking us out.
Yo, cause if this shit get thick,
we sick of yo.
And if you act at all that,
we sick of yo.
And if we lose our jobs,
we sick of
yo.
We sick of
I know your niggas checking me out.
Yo.
I know y'all niggas checking me out.
Yo.
I know y'all niggas checking us out.
Yo.
I know y'all niggas checking me out.
Yo.
This is Nasty Knives on WDEF Death Squad Radio. Hitting you with the ultimate funk shit.